Never mind GDP rising, a new economic scorecard shows why so many Americans are not getting ahead. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. First, the House of Representatives is scheduled to vote today on a bill to impose stricter sanctions on North Korea, Iran, and Russia. This version has some changes from the one that overwhelmingly passed in the Senate, many aimed at softening the blow for U.S. businesses that deal with Russia. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
Some businesses complained the Senate version of the bill cast too wide a net. After all, Russia is a big player in the global economy. Richard Tsuoya is with the National Foreign Trade Council.
U.S. business, not only in the natural resource space, but also in manufacturing, services, and financial space, do have legitimate commercial operations with Russia, which is, after all, a major economy and a member of the WTO.
Big oil and gas companies, for one, pressured Congress to limit the effects of the sanctions on their international deals. Susan Allen is at the University of Mississippi. She says the lobbying worked to some extent.
The compromise has been to say that any project that involves Russian ownership greater than 33% is affected, but some projects that only have small Russian ownership are allowed to go through.
But even with the bill's new language, some businesses remain concerned that the sanctions will hurt their bottom line. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Let's get a check of numbers. The FTSE index, the 100 share index in London, is up 0.9%. Dow and S&P futures are up in the 0.2% range. Crude oil is up 1.4% in New York trading now, just under $47 a barrel. Now to the Jimmy Choo Michael Kors wedding. Jimmy's shoes have been worn by Jennifer Lopez, Michelle Obama. You probably have a Michael Kors belt. For more on the $1.2 billion Kors is paying for UK-based Choo, here's BBC business correspondent Theo Leggett in our partner newsroom in London.
The brand was founded in London in the 1990s by the British fashion writer Tamara Mellon and Malaysian shoe designer Jimmy Choo. It manufactured upmarket shoes and accessories for a wealthy clientele. Its popularity grew thanks to links with Princess Diana and numerous celebrities. It was also prominently featured on the TV series Sex and the City. Michael Kors says it's planning a major expansion of the Jimmy Choo label, particularly in Asia, and wants to build up its men's footwear business as well.
The BBC's Theo Leggett, thank you. Gross domestic product goes up, but it doesn't necessarily drag our standards of living with it. Every year, a nonprofit advocacy group called Prosperity Now issues a scorecard on the prosperity of Americans by looking at savings, the opportunity to get a higher paying job, and the ability to save and to build wealth. While the latest survey today shows a decrease in poverty, it found that one in four jobs in America are still low wage and that the American dream is still out of reach for many. Andrea Levere is president of Prosperity Now and joins us from Marketplace's Washington Bureau. Good morning.
Good morning.
The U.S. government's main measure of economic growth, gross domestic product, goes up a lot. It goes up a little each quarter. Many Americans, though, are not feeling it. You see that in your data?
Yes. And the power of the scorecard is that it looks beneath the national numbers into specifics. So while we see positive trends in unemployment and the poverty rate, we also see other trends, such as the fact that today one in five households experience real changes in the cash flow that comes into their household from month to month. And 44% of these households were unable to set aside any money for emergencies.
You know, the economic experts come on this show, I wouldn't say on a daily basis, but frequently to point out that you should have at least 6 months savings in case something bad happens. Most people don't have anything close to that.
One of the most powerful metrics that we've developed is a measure called liquid asset poverty. And that measure says, do you have enough in savings to be able to exist at the poverty level for just 3 months if your main source of income is disrupted? 37% of American households are in liquid asset poverty. And that rises to 57% of African American households and 61% of Latino households. And that matters both for how these households can manage, but also for the overall economy, because that level of financial insecurity, we believe, links directly to limitations on growth.
So you have some of these broad and more specific policy recommendations, raising the minimum wage, the earned income tax credit, even at the state level. But what's this about offering a prize for savings?
One of the areas we do a lot of work in is children's savings, because we believe that starting a child with a savings account can help break the intergenerational transfer of poverty. And so we have several programs around the country that engage families and households in building these accounts by offering prizes. You save in an account and it makes you eligible for a special prize. And, you know, one of the great rules of behavioral science we've learned is people hate losing more than they like to get something. And so we can keep them engaged in this process.
Andrea Levere is president of Prosperity Now. The latest scorecard on America's wealth is out. Ms. Levere, thank you so much.
And thank you.
And Google's parent Alphabet reported profits yesterday, 28% lower than the same period earlier. The company's paying the bill after a $2.75 billion fine from European antitrust regulators. Google could still appeal. Interestingly, Alphabet earned more from ads displayed on desktop computers than from its mobile ads on phones and tablets. Alphabet stock is down 2.5% in pre-market trading. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer, Bill Lance. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.